Take your Bibles and go with me again to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We are in the midst of a section of parables from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to refer back to the parable as it was given in Matthew chapter 13 with the kingdom parables. Now, in some of the kingdom parables in Matthew, the Lord gives the description and He gives the details of the parable. There were other parables that were listed out, and they did not give the actual descriptions and definitions. And so it really leaves us to us. It leaves it to us to discern what does God have for us from these parables. Now, thankfully, you don't have to totally trust in my opinion on the matter. That may or may not be good. But I've been blessed to be able to study out a wide variety of commentators on the passage. And I will acknowledge the commentators do not agree. And so I'll pull one book off the shelf and they say, this is what this parable is talking about. And I'll pull another one off the shelf and it says, no, this is what this parable is talking about. And so I'll give you what I believe to be accurate from the from the commentators that that I've read and so forth, and looking at the scriptures and detailing it. So if you're there in Luke chapter 13, I'm going to do something real quick here, and this is just to help these people over here. I'm just going to lower this real quick, all right, so that you won't be looking through this the whole time. I appreciate that. It will bother me if it doesn't bother you. All right. You've got your Bibles open to Luke chapter 13. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. Then we'll flip back to Matthew chapter 13. We'll read the same parable there. Luke chapter 13, verse number 21, the Bible says, "And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." All right, go back with me if you would to Matthew chapter 13. And again, as I referenced a couple of weeks ago, this entire chapter is what is called the kingdom parables. And so we walk through a great number of parables that describe the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to partner the passage up this morning with the other parable that we looked at 2 weeks ago, because I think it's helpful for us to look at both of these items together. If you're there in Matthew chapter 13, again, hold your place, Luke 13, same passage, but let's read it here in the context of the kingdom parables. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 31, the Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven." Interesting passage, and I will refer to what we said about the previous parable here in just a few moments, but let's ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Lord, thank you for the wonderful music that we've already been given and blessed with. Thank you for the investment that so many of our musicians have made, that on a weekly basis we might be stirred and challenged and lifted up and encouraged, Lord, by just the words that flow forth from Scripture. And my heart is full this morning with that theme of I'd rather have Jesus. Boy, the world seems to have so much to offer. And yet I pray that we as believers would rather have Jesus than anything. And that we would follow that theme through the entirety of our lives. And though the world may offer fancy billboards and wonderful temporal things, Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes on the eternal things. And I pray that we keep our eyes toward heaven. Lord, we pray that you'd help us now as we consider this kingdom parable, Lord, and the theme of this message. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to faithfully communicate this theme this morning. Thank you for these folks, their investment. I pray now that you'd cleanse me of sin and fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The parable that we have before us here in Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, and then here in Matthew 13, in verse number 33, is very much like the previous one in that it is a description of influence. Just like the previous parable there related to the mustard seed, we have no specific interpretation available to us specifically from the Lord Jesus Christ. Men disagree on the interpretation, but I believe that we can go to context, and I believe that we can go to other passages of Scripture, and we can understand better what Christ is seeking to teach us. Now, I want to remind you that in these kingdom parables, there is a progression that Christ walks through here in Matthew chapter 13, where we have just the two parables that are listed in Luke chapter 13. There was a progression in Matthew chapter 13. Now, this morning, I will tell you who I'm siding with, and then you can walk out and maybe check your own commentaries, because there are others that have a differing opinion. But I like what H.A. Ironside says. First of all, I just like his name. How could you go wrong with the last name Ironside? I bet nobody messed with him in elementary school. You know, he probably had a reputation, hey, don't mess with Ironside, you'll be in trouble, all right? But I like what Dr. Ironside says about it. I also looked at Schofield and John Phillips, Dr. Sexton out of Temple Baptist down in Knoxville as well. And the question here is one of influence. Is the influence that you and I are reading about here related to leaven meant to portray the influence that the gospel is going to have on the world, or is the parable demonstrating the influence that the false gospel will have on the kingdom of God? Now, I've already tipped my hand if you were here 2 weeks ago, because I've already demonstrated to you that I believe that in the first parable, it speaks of that initial beginning of what Christ started and fanning the flames of the gospel and flowing that flame to the entire world. And it did branch out and it did have a great impact, but there were birds that came to dwell in the midst of it. And I believe with all of my heart that while we have the umbrella of Christianity, there is a lot that now comes under Christianity that is not Christian. Now, Brother Brian spoke of this in Sunday school this morning, and he spoke of how this broad spectrum, this broad umbrella flows, and there is so much in the arena under the umbrella of Christianity. It happened this week, and so I thought, I've got to save this letter. This will just bless your heart. It came into me from a local Catholic church. This goes back to what I said about that mustard seed. The smallest of things that get started grows, and then other things come to dwell under the umbrella of Christianity. And no doubt if you went around the globe today and you said, is the Roman Catholic Church a Christian denomination? No doubt most of the world would say yes. Well, let's read what this letter says. It came to me from the Catholic Church here. It says, Dear friends, in January, during the week of prayer for Christian unity, we kept you in our prayers. We're blessed to be in a community, and we're blessed to be in community and unity together in the church and human family. Jesus reminds his disciples that he is the vine and we are the branches. If we abide in him, in Jesus, and the covenant made in his precious blood, we will be such a healthy branch as to bear much fruit, abundant grapes. The image of the branches helps believers understand that they are all diverse as individuals, but brought together in love. Abiding in Christ's love, let us love one another. Then it goes on to talk about the Nativity Parish here in this local Burke community, and we look forward to meeting all of you in person at these ecumenical events. And then they say, Gracious Lord, we pray for all the members of your holy church, that all may abide in you and you in them, that they may be one in your love and bear much fruit. We also pray for the world, that all may come to believe in your love for them by the fruit of our witness. We know that our divisions are a source of scandal to your world, and we know that in love we are called to unite as one in the vine and branches. The vine is our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We are meant to be his branches. Help us, we pray, to love, to forgive, to seek justice, and to be your prophetic voice in the world. May your grace effect growth of good fruit among us, that our world may realize peace. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, your Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We celebrate this Holy Week with a heart filled with peace and love towards all His people in our community. May the blessings of Holy Week burst forth the joy of resurrected life for you and your loved ones. Happy Easter. The peace of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Man, that was beautiful. To think that they would take that time and send that to us. You know what it tells me? There's an awful lot of things that are operating under the umbrella of Christianity. And yet they're really not Christian. This ecumenical movement, this desire to bring everybody together and unite, this desire for us to all meet around the word love instead of all meeting around the affirmed doctrine of the Word of God. Well, I tell you what, it puts so much under the umbrella of Christianity. And I shared with you 2 weeks ago that I believe that that message of the mustard seed is that of these things that come under the umbrella of Christianity, but they're really not Christian. I believe that the parable of the mustard seed speaks of outward influence, but the one we're going to look at this morning speaks of inward influence. Inward influence. Will you see with me how this leaven affects the entity into which it is placed? Let's read the parable again. If you're in Matthew chapter 13, you can read it from there. Verse number 33, another parable. Spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meat, or of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now I'm going to walk through again the passage and just detail for you why I believe that this is speaking about an influence that's corruptive. That's corruptive. So it was started by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was started, of course, to reach the world. But there are now many things that come under this umbrella that claim Christianity, and yet they do not follow or adhere to the Christ of the Bible. We move to this parable of leaven, and first of all, we understand that it was a common example. A common example. The woman of the house would use the leaven from one lump to leaven the next lump. And so it would be taken from this one and then placed in the other, and it would be a benefit in this idea of prolonging the usefulness of that lump. And I'm sure that Christ had watched his mom do this at different times. I'm sure that there were those that had been very familiar with this kind of action taken. In those days, a piece of the leavened dough from an unbaked loaf was put among the new dough to cause the fermentation. One commentary said it this way, it is a measure containing about a peck and a half, wanting a little more than a pint. Another commentary said this, in the Oriental housekeeping, yeast is not preserved in a separate form, but a piece of leavened dough saved over from the last baking is added to the new dough to ferment it. 3 measures contain the quantity usually taken for 1 baking. So everybody understood this. They understood this. In our household, with my mom and through the generations of my mom, there was a practice of making sweet rolls. And so there was a time, an occasion at our church in Tennessee in which the men were going to make the desserts for a couples activity that we were having. And so they were going to be judged, and they were going to receive opportunity to receive prizes based upon our desserts. Well, I thought, hey, there's nothing better to take than my mom's sweet rolls. The unfortunate part of that was that my mom was not the one that was going to be making them. But I picked up the phone and I said, hey, mom, can you help me make your sweet rolls for this couple's activity? And so she said, sure. And so she begins by helping me with all the ingredients. She begins by helping me taking, and I'm going to butcher it right from here forward. I'm going to butcher it. But all the ingredients and putting it together and letting the dough rise and then chopping it up, because I think every one of my mom's batches was three different trays of sweet rolls. Oh my, are they good. One day they developed, my mother, for some unknown reason, started putting raisins in her sweet rolls. That's a waste of time. But she had three batches that would come from one main batch. And so she said, Todd, you've got to allow time for the yeast to rise. So you put it in the fridge, you cover it, and all this kind of stuff. Then she said, clear the counter, take all the flour and put it down on this, and give yourself plenty of room to pat it down and chop it up. And she walks through it all with me. She says, now melt the butter and put it on to what's going to be the roll. And then she says, okay, now take your cinnamon and put it in there. She's got it all mastered out. Tragically, as little kids, we didn't want to wait for it to be cooked. So when Mom began to slice off that raw dough, and it had all that melted butter and cinnamon and sugar on it, Mom, can I have one of those before it goes in the oven? Tragically, my mother said yes. We've always been a little bit, you know, off since then. But this is a familiar thing. It's a familiar theme for everyone. When the Lord tells the story, He says, listen, the woman takes the amount and she puts it in, and then it has an impact on the next one, and then takes it from that one and has an impact on the next one. It was a common example. But the Lord here, I believe, is giving us, number two, a corrupting effect. A corrupting effect. There's a couple of things that I want you to see about the message and why I believe that it is not a positive trait. Number one, the Bible says that the woman hid it. And I don't see in Scripture where the Word of God is to be hidden. I don't see in the Scriptures where the Bible says that we're supposed to just be secret service saints. Hidden in society, where we're just supposed to be maneuvering and trying to be very careful about the time frame in which we spread the gospel of Christ per se. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And in this passage, she takes and she hides the leaven. And then in the second part of it, it's using the reference to leaven. And nowhere else in the Word of God is the word leaven used in a way that is a positive. And so when I look at the passage and I look at the previous one where we have the outward influence and how all these different entities are now coming under the umbrella or coming under the branches and now claim Christianity, but they're no more Christianity than anything because they're not following Christ nor His Word. In this one, the woman is talking about influence or referencing the influence that it's having. The effect, it's the result or the consequence of some action. The Apostle Paul used the word leaven on different occasions. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 6, he said, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, be very careful about that which is influencing you. Because it doesn't take much. There's just a little bit, but it's having an impact on your life. Can I take a sidetrack there? Be very careful about the influences that you have in your life. Oh, well, Pastor, they're not that significant. Yeah, but a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Galatia, hey, church, what's going on? You know the Word of God that I preached unto you originally. You know the truth. And yet you've allowed these Judaizers to come in. You've allowed them to come in and add all the works of the law to what has already taken place in your life, salvation by grace through faith alone. And he says, be very alert, because it only takes a little bit. Well, I tell you what, it's a warning for us individually. It's a warning for us as a church, because if that kind of philosophy can creep into your church and ruin the whole, it certainly will. And by the way, if I could just detail it this way without giving the names, I know a lot of fundamental churches that allowed a little bit of the leaven to flow in and they're no longer in existence today. And so a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The Apostle Paul says, listen, you better be careful. The Lord Jesus Christ says, look, this woman hid the leaven in this loaf, and it had an influence. Paul is giving the example of influence. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving the example of influence. And Christ says, eventually the whole will be changed by the leaven. Well, is this change for good or for worse? Again, I believe that it's for the worse. So then we go to the Lord Jesus himself and we ask him about leaven. Did the Lord ever talk about leaven in any of his other messages or any of his other interactions with people? I'm glad you asked that question because he did talk about leaven quite a bit. He spoke on the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees, that little lump of the Pharisees that would work into the loaf and that would eventually affect the whole loaf. In other words, if we could put the Pharisees into the position of the woman, the Pharisees, under the guise of religion, under the guise of their circle of religion, they come in, they camp out, they pretend that they're a part of what you and I already believe. And yet they begin to spread leaven. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, what was the leaven of the Pharisees? Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 6, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, here it is, which is hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of hypocrisy. Well, boy, what was transpiring here with the Pharisees? We go back, if you would, take your Bibles and go back with me again, and let's just rehearse what happened in Luke chapter 13. This is, again, in context and why I believe it's not a positive message as of the mustard seed and as of the leaven. Matthew chapter 13, in context, look at what had happened right in that previous passage here as we've been looking at this on Sunday mornings in Luke chapter 13. Do you remember? The Bible says in verse 10, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Jesus, verse number 12, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. And right on the heels of this interaction there in the temple, in the synagogue, right on the heels of this, the Lord says, listen, this kind of stuff is going to be hidden in the bunch. And this leaven, if we're not careful, is going to leaven the whole bunch. Beware of hypocrisy. You know, what the world sees is exactly what we should see, is exactly what they should see, is exactly what our home should see, is exactly what our children should see, is exactly what our coworkers should see. You know, we ought to be the same in our model of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, when I'm with my friends on Friday and Saturday night, I look far different than I do on Sunday mornings. My friend, that's a shame. Because we ought to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You see, I cannot set aside my Christianity and go out to the bar room on Friday and Saturday night. Say, well, it's no problem that I'm participating in this kind of lifestyle over here, because after all, I'm not in church. Well, it's okay for me to participate in the dirty story at work around the water cooler. It's okay for me to participate in that area because that's not church. But boy, when I get in church, I've got my Bible and I've got my nice clothes on, and then I want everyone to know what I'm really like. No, you are what you are when no one else is looking. So you want to know me best? Talk to my wife after the service. I'm just kidding. You want to know me best? Talk to my sons. Ask them, hey, is that guy the same in the house as he is in the pulpit? Now, I'm a little bit more gussied up this morning. I gave a lot of wool to the sheep shearers yesterday. Well, I might be a little bit more gussied up, but I pray to Almighty God that they're not seeing something different in my life than what you're seeing in me when I'm behind the pulpit, because I want to beware of the Pharisees and of their leaven. Jesus Christ says, hey, listen, this will be very subtly planted right in the midst of the loaf. And for a time it will appear that it's okay, but it will eventually begin to show itself. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Let's go to the second one. It's not only beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, but it's also beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. You remember the verse already, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 6. He said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What was the Sadducees' leaven? It was that of skepticism. Skepticism. How has the leaven of skepticism influenced and corrupted the kingdom of Almighty God? You know, in our day, many do not believe in absolute truth. Truth is whatever the individual wants to believe. Again, in all my days growing up in Christian education, in all my days of being trained in Christian college, over and over again, they drove home the point. The Bible's the absolute authority of Almighty God. I heard it from teacher after teacher after teacher, professor after professor. I heard it time and again. But boy, I tell you what, even in our Christian school circles today, if you go up to the average student and say to them, hey, do you believe that Almighty God has given us His Word as our only rule of faith and practice, and it is absolute truth? Boy, I tell you what, it'd be amazing as to what you'd hear. Well, hate to be that dogmatic. Right now, it's like asking a politician how many genders there are. And they literally can't answer. If you come to me after the service today, I'll tell you how many genders there are. There's two. Okay? There's two. There's never going to be more than two. There's two. Okay? There's two. You have it? Say, why do you believe that, Pastor? Because God's Word said it. And I believe in the absolute truth of the Word of God. But we want to make truth subjective to our opinions. Boy, that's a great place of danger. We want to make truth subjective to our politics. Boy, that's a great place of danger. We want to make truth subjective to what Hollywood's teaching us at this time. Boy, that's a great place of danger. Skepticism. I believe it's one of the avenues by which Satan has been most masterful in his plans. In fact, in 1955, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preached a message from Jude 3, earnestly contend for the faith. I have that message on cassette tape. Cassette tape is what we used to listen to things on. Boombox, everything like this, all right? And I think he said it so well back in 1955. There was a recent production of a new translation that had just come out. And in 1955, Dr. Bob Sr. had the discernment to say, Satan has produced another translation and taken more of the Word of God out of it so that he can produce more translations and more translations, and finally the world will throw up their hands and say something like this: all these translations, I don't know which one to follow, and none of them agree. So therefore, I'm just going to go my own way. And a little leaven of skepticism has been placed into the lump. A little leaven of skepticism begins to flow in a Sunday school class here or there. A little leaven begins to flow in a little group Bible study. A little skepticism begins to flow. And pretty soon, the church is affected because they no longer believe that the Word of God is the only rule of faith and practice. Boy, if we ever depart from the Word of God being our rule of faith and practice and we go to some kind of hierarchy, we're in trouble. If we ever, and listen, I think we have some of the greatest men that can serve as a group of deacons, but I tell you what, if we ever toss the Bible aside and we just say we're going to follow whatever our deacons say, we're in trouble. If we ever say we're going to throw aside the Bible and listen now to a denomination and listen to what the denomination says, my friend, we're in trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, you better be alert. Because a little bit of leaven from the Pharisees, a little bit of hypocrisy will seek to creep in. A little bit of skepticism will creep in. But then there was a third one that the Lord talked about. It wasn't the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of the Sadducees. It was the leaven of Herod. Mark chapter 18 and verse number 15. He charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. What was the leaven of Herod? It wasn't skepticism. It wasn't hypocrisy. But it was number three. And here it is. The leaven of Herod was that of secularism. Secularism. Allowing secularism to corrupt the kingdom of Almighty God. Believers have bought the lie of the devil that it does not matter if there is any difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Many years ago, the statement was made by Brother Ken Collier, we will not make a difference until we are different. We will not make a difference until we are different. Now, that doesn't mean that I move up onto the mountaintop and I begin to chant and I live the rest of my life as a monk. But boy, I tell you what, if someone drives into my neighborhood and begins to go door to door and say, which one of these houses is occupied by a preacher? Does everyone in my neighborhood point to the same house? If someone drives in my neighborhood and said, which one of these houses is occupied by a Bible-believing Christian? Does everyone immediately point to my house? What about your life? Well, I tell you what, a little bit of secularism can be placed into the lump. A little bit of secularism can be placed in the lump, and pretty soon you cannot identify the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The believer has become so secular in their thinking. The believer has become so secular in their actions. And my friend, the Bible says again and again to us, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Oh, the intention of this kingdom is great. And it was going to start from the smallest of things. But we recognize that now as those branches have grown, there are many that are seeking to creep in under the umbrella of Christianity and have an outward influence. But even beyond that, there are those that are seeking to sit right in the midst, that are seeking not to have the outward influence, but they're seeking to have the inward influence. Hey, it's okay if we're a little bit hypocritical in this. Hey, it's okay if we're a little bit skeptical about this. Hey, it's okay, after all, if we sit in church week after week and we're a little bit secular about this. Instead of taking a stand, religion has followed the world. Instead of taking a stand, the world is far more concerned about being seeker-sensitive than they are about being Savior-sensitive. We find a common example. Everybody was familiar with this. She takes that little lump and puts it into the next measures of meal until the whole was leavened. But it was going to have an effect. It was going to have an impact. It was going to make a difference. It was going to have a corrupting effect. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned them of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees and that of Herod. And it brings us to number three, the calamitous end. So what's the end of this? Oh, Pastor, I think it means that if we hide the gospel in the middle of the lump, eventually the gospel will have full effect. And everyone in the world will be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? But I tell you what, the Bible says that the road that leads to eternal damnation is very wide and broad. And the road that leads to eternal life is very narrow. Someone was asking me the other day about our narrow-mindedness as independent Baptists. Well, you just seem to be so narrow-minded in it. Well, pretty much my narrow-mindedness comes from John chapter 14 in verse number 6. I don't know if there's a more narrow-minded verse in all the Bible. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He did not say a way. He did not say another way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what a statement at the end of the verse. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many people does no mean? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a narrow way, and he said that that way was through his shed blood. Well, the calamitous end. This is where we're directed. We've been speaking on this on Wednesday nights. In fact, the end of this leavening of the whole lump will result in the whole world turning against the gospel and turning against truth. Do you have your Bibles there in your lap? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let me read to you from this passage on the end times. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And boy, it details some significant things for us here. The calamitous end, yes, the leaven is going to come in, and it's hidden in that meal. And it's going to start to have an impact. It's going to start to have influence. Oh, Pastor, we're gaining ground in this matter. The worldwide Christianity is having an impact, and it's growing. I tell you what, there's a lot of false teaching that is now corrupting that which comes under the umbrella of Christianity. There's a lot of internal influence that is corrupting that which is under the name Christianity, and I believe it will have a calamitous end. Look at verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, loving of pleasures, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Would you look at those next words right there? Having a form of godliness. Could we say having a form of Christ-likeness? Coming under the umbrella of Christianity. Being a part of the lump of the Christian circles. The Bible says having a form of godliness. It's a form that man has made up in his own mind. It's a form of godliness, but it's not a form that's founded on the Word of God. It's claiming that you're following Christ, but you hate the Christ of the Bible. And the Bible says, but denying the power thereof. Would you walk down further with me in verse number 12? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. This is the opposite of what you find in verse number 5. This is not a form of godliness. This is actual Christ-likeness. This is people walking by your life and saying, there's a great demonstration of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is going to culminate in what we've recently described on Wednesday nights in the great battle of Armageddon. When Antichrist, with his one world religion, unites mankind under his banner and comes to do battle with Jehovah. Revelation chapter 19. See, this crowd that will have a form of godliness, that will be perfectly content to claim that they're following the Christ when they're following Antichrist. This is the calamitous end. We're tracking right now towards the time of rapture. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night. We know not the hour nor the day, but Jesus is coming again. As we get ever closer to that, does Christianity have a greater and greater level of impact? Are we just going to get so good in the world that we just usher Christ back in? No. The seeds of hypocrisy are already well spread. The seeds of skepticism are already well spread. The seeds of secularism are already well spread. And you and I must be vigilant. Because the days, according to the Word of God, the days that draw closer to the return of Christ will mark themselves in that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So what's the answer? It was such a common example, and everyone fully understood what was done by the woman when she hid the measures, and it had influence on the whole lump. Everyone understood that. Was this that the kingdom of God and His gospel were going to be put into the world, and it would eventually just leaven the whole lump, and that would result in a great thing? I believe that it speaks to how well Satan has done. And using his religions to be one degree off of truth, to use the same kinds of vernacular as I read in this letter, to create such an ecumenical spirit, to create such an attitude of, hey, we're okay. And yet hypocrisy and skepticism and secularism abound even under the umbrella of Christianity. It draws me to two things. Number one, beware of the leaven. Well, if you start to see hypocrisy creeping in, would you deal with it in your own life? Boy, as a church, we have to be vigilant. I don't want to be hypocritical as a church. I don't want to preach against certain things and then we're living the exact opposite. I want our yeas to be yeas and our nays to be nays. I want to be truthful before God. I want the same thing that people see in my life on the outside to be exactly what God knows is happening on the inside. I don't want to be drawn away by skepticism. In your homes, take the opportunity in your family devotions. While you're sitting down by the way, while you're driving to work, while you're driving to school, take every opportunity to teach your children that this book is eternal life. This book is the only way. This book is the way, the truth, and the life. This book is the light which will light the path for every decision that you're going to make in life. This book has the answer. This book is absolute truth. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. There's all these kinds of people on TV that have all kinds of big names next to their name and what they've done and what they've been taught and everything like this. There's never a man that I'm going to place above the Word of God. The Bible has the answer. The Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. The Bible is the final authority of every aspect of my life. Well, I don't want any seed of skepticism seeping in. And boy, I surely don't want to become a secularist where the world is influencing me far more than I'm influencing the world. Would you beware of the leaven? And then number two, would you take the theme of the song that was sung just before the message and implant it into your heart and live according to that theme? I'd rather have Jesus. In just a few moments in our hymn of invitation, I think it's best for us to sing that song again. Because you better, as a home, make that determination right now. Do you know, in our home, there's certain non-negotiables. I had a ride home with my son the other day. We've had the great opportunity in this past year, 2 years, with our other son away at college. We've had the opportunity to have some great one-on-one conversations. And I told my son the other day about a certain thing that's happening in our society today. I looked over at him and I said, Carson, I don't care what everyone else does in this world. I will not. And then I filled in the blank with a statement. And I said, son, I'm looking at you right now. And I said, I'm not making the decision for you. You're going to have to make this decision for yourself. But I said, I looked right at him and I said, he was driving at the time. And I looked away from the road, looked over at him. And I said, I will not do this no matter what everyone else in society does. Do you have those kinds of foundational convictions in your life and in your home? Again, he's almost to the point of adulthood. And I was honest. I said, son, you're going to have to decide what you decide. But I'm telling you right now, Dad will not do this, let come what may. I want to be very alert towards the ways that Satan is trying to get in that little leaven. He's trying to just hide it right in there. You don't even know that it's been added, but boy, it begins to permeate the whole. Well, I want to be vigilant against those things. But then I want to know this. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, I surely want Him to return and find me faithful. And that, my friend, will only occur if you fix some things straight in your heart and life, even today. And the theme of our invitation this morning will be that of, I'd rather have Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time this morning and being able to look at this parable. And I know that there's some really good men that disagree as to whether or not the parable is talking about the influence of Christianity on the world or the influence that Satan will try to have in Christianity. And so, Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning that if my interpretation has been faulty, that you would forgive me, but that you would still drive home the truth for each one. If my interpretation was faulty, the items of application still ring true. And we must be alert to the leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of skepticism, the leaven of secularism. Boy, they're seeping in, it just seems like, at every corner. And churches are closing their doors because they've succumbed to the whole lump being leavened. Lord, would we be alert to these things? If there be one or more individuals this morning that would say, you know, Pastor, that's an area that I've really been tempted in. Boy, that's an area in which my home has been tempted. Would you help folks today to just come and to say, Lord, help me to be on guard. And then, Lord, I do pray for each one of our church folk here this morning that you'd help them to take the theme of the song that we're about to sing together and that that theme would be driven home in their heart, that that would be the non-negotiable. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Would you work in this time of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning, and if they can find the words and put those up on the